Let me begin by saying I hope the sermon goes over a little better at 11 than it did at 8:30. I think that congregation, which usually has a pretty sunny disposition, just hadn't had their coffee yet, so maybe they were a little slower, but this is just meant to say, you know, you are invited to laugh if the jokes seem appropriate and at the right time. Of course, it may go just as poorly as it did then, and we'll all suffer through and can't wait to get to the baptism. Speaking of baptisms, I don't suppose naming babies has ever been easy. It cannot have been easy this week for the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, who were under considerable pressure to announce the name for the new royal baby under the constant watchfulness of an omnivorous news media. Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, who have each done their share of feeding that omnivorous news media, have been pilloried recently in the same media for naming their child North, because the child's name is indeed Northwest. But that's hardly the worst celebrity name ever. Rock star Frank Zappa and his wife Gail named their children Dweezil, Moon Unit, and, I kid you not, Diva Muffin. It makes the Beckham children's names, Brooklyn, Romeo, Cruz, and Harper, look commonplace by comparison. His Royal Highness George Alexander Louis should be grateful because he got a normal name, not like Dweezil or, God help us, Diva Muffin. To say nothing at all of Lo Ruhama or Lo Ami. Of course, the circumstances in which the latter two were conceived were, shall we say, less than ideal. Their parents' marriage wasn't exactly a match made in heaven, or rather, actually, it was, which makes the story even more bizarre. And if you thought to yourself, this hardly seems an appropriate reading in church, to say nothing of a Sunday on which we baptize and welcome children, well, you're right, it's an awful story. It's a terrible story. One shouldn't tell these sorts of things in church. I'm surprised the very careful editors of the lectionary haven't carefully screened it out. But there we are. We're stuck with it. So we've got to go, eh? Well, it seems that when the Lord first began speaking to God's people Israel through the prophet Hosea, God said to Hosea, go and take for yourself a wife of whoredom. And then whoredom, whoredom, whoredom. That's all you hear for a while. And you think, this is just awful. Right? Why would God command the prophet to take a promiscuous woman? I mean, probably not Hosea's dream girl, to say nothing of his mother's idea of a proper daughter-in-law. But this idea behind this strange arranged marriage was that it would be a sign to Israel, a weirdly real way of showing God's people how they had been unfaithful to God. They had committed openly spiritual adultery against God by worshiping other gods. Now, one perceptive member of the early congregation said, I hate texts in which God does ungodly things. Well, that's kind of what we've got today. And then, because the good book says that the sins of the father, or in this metaphor, the sins of the mother, are visited on the third and the fourth generation, the illegitimate children of Hosea and his whorish wife Gomer get saddled with awful names. Terrible. I mean, no one should do this to a child. Worse than Dweezil or Diva, their first child, a son, is to be named Jezreel, which means God plants or sows. And you think, well, so far, so good. I mean, that's kind of nice, until you learn the story behind the name. You see, Jezreel was a valley where a bad old king had murdered a bunch of people, and God planned to punish that king to avenge their murders. So if you're following this line of reasoning with regard to baby names, I think I will go with the magician Pendjilet, who named his daughter, hold on to your seats, Moxie Crime Fighter. I swear I am not making this up. But Hosea and Gomer weren't done yet, and neither was God. The second child, a girl, was to be named Lo-Ruhamah, which means not pitied. She was to be called that because God would no longer have pity on the house of Israel, nor would God forgive them. And no pity, one scholar points out, is actually much too nice a translation. A more accurate translation would be not motherly loved, or neglected, or even abused. Judah, Israel's southern neighbor, and frankly, Israel's little brother, if you go back far enough in the family tree, would be pitied. Judah would be spared, but not adulterous, idolatrous Israel. There would be Lo-Ruhamah, no pity for them. They would be neglected, they would be abused, and feel none of God's motherly love. Now, no sooner had Gomer weaned no pity than she conceived and gave birth to a third child, another son, this one to be named Lo-Ami, which means not my people. If you're following how the name game works at this point, you know that this poor kid's name is to be assigned to Israel from God that says, "You, Israel, are not my people, and I am not your God." Talking about sending a message, to say nothing of giving a child a complex. What sort of self-image must celebrity chef Jamie Oliver's daughters have being named Poppy Honey and Daisy Boo? Were other celebrities' kids named Audio Science and Pilot Inspector? Again, I want to emphasize, I am not making this up. But you see, that's just it. Research has shown that a baby's given name has long-lasting impacts. The impacts can be behavioral issues. You give a boy a feminine-sounding name, and he goes to elementary school and doesn't seem to have any problems, but he then gets into middle school and high school, and the behavioral issues just erupt, especially if that boy is in a class with a girl who shares the same name. Some names have class or socioeconomic associations, and children can behave accordingly. Children will live up to or down to the name you give them. So you have to think about whether a child's name has high or low expectations. So there's more to a name than meets the eye. Just ask the sons of director Robert Rodriguez: Rocket, Racer, Rebel, and Rogue. Oh. Think daughter Rhiannon gets off easy. So this morning I want to commend Brad and Anna for giving their daughter a proper name, a good name, Catherine Jane, which in addition to being beautiful has a rich family tradition. Catherine shares her name with her grandmother, great-grandmother, aunt, great-aunt, making her the fourth generation Catherine in her family. Her great-great-great-grandmother made the 110-year-old christening gown that Catherine Jane wears today. I don't know how you feel about your name. Some of us like the names we've been given. Some of us don't care so much for our first name, so we take the middle name. Others of us would abandon our names altogether and just stick with the nickname that we've got. Sometimes we're stuck with names that we just can't shake. Maybe once in our life someone named us stupid, or lazy, or no good. Maybe at some point along the line we've been named fat, or ugly, or mean. Maybe someone has named us hopeless, or worthless, or clueless. Maybe we're stuck with the name unloved, or unlovable, or lonely, or angry, or guilty, or afraid. Those are the names other people give us, names we might feel we can't do anything about. Some of them are, we fear, names that God has given us. They might name how God looks at us. I mean, if God can call kids not pitied and not my people. Fortunately, the awful story of Hosea's children's terrible names, and they are that, has a happy ending. They aren't stuck with their names forever. And that's because things can change. People can change. You and I can change. God can change. That same Israel that the prophet said was to be cut off, not spared, not pitied, would in fact grow. It would multiply. They would be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered or counted. There was an unimaginable future in store for Israel that once felt itself cut off from God. And you know how it had once been said of them, "You are not my people." God says, "That's not true. It shall be said to them, they are children of the living God." All of us become children of that living God in our baptism. Something wonderful happens when we are baptized. For in our baptism, everything in our past, all those terrible things that might have won us names that we would not have chosen for ourselves, all those things we were or did, all of that gets washed away. All of that, says Paul in the letter to the Colossians, gets nailed to the cross. Our past is over. In baptism, we're washed, we're reborn, we're given a new name. And the name that is given us in our baptism is the name of Jesus. It's in our baptism that we become Christians, literally little Christs. It's a name that means forgiven, transformed, offered a second chance, empowered to do it again. It's a name that means you and I are remade and renewed in the image of God as children of that living God, whose name is grace and compassion and love. Today, as we celebrate Catherine Jane's baptism, may we remember our own and live into the name that was invoked over us, the name of Jesus.